Graham Collins. This recording is part of the oral history project carried out by the Suffolk Horse Society in 2013 with advice from Cambridge Community Heritage and a generous grant from the Heritage Lotteries Fund. In the recording you will hear the voice of Mr. Graham Collins describing his memories of the Suffolk Punch Heavy Horse. Graham is a heavy horse enthusiast and owner. The recording was made by Peter Webb, who was a member of the Suffolk Horse Society. The date of the recording was the 28th of February 2013, and it was carried out at his home at Stanbridge, Essex. The duration of the recording is about 32 minutes.
Well, thank you, Graham Collins of Stanbridge in Essex. Once again, thanks for inviting me back, Graham. Very nice of you. May I just have your date of birth before we start? Because it always helps, you know. I know you.
11th of May 1947.
Good-o. Yeah, where's the time gone, eh?
That's right.
Well, we've come here really just to talk about heavy horses and how you got involved with it when you're younger and how you've taken on and the responsibility of trying to keep up traditions of heavy horses and showing. And I just wondered how you got involved, Graham, please,
well,
with heavy horses.
For some reason, I always had a love of animals and farm animals, and particularly horses, driven horses. Not riding. I wasn't ever interested in riding horses, but any horse in harness fascinated me from a young boy. Well, my mother came from Canterbury, and my grandmother's family had a haulage business, which is still going today, Charles Hewitt in Canterbury. They still have lorries on the road. And when my mother came to live in Southend, she came to work for her aunt in the 1920s. They had a bakery business in Southend.
Oh, right. I wonder why you, how you came.
Yeah, that's
why
my mother came to. So she came to live and work for her aunt. And that's how she met my father, because my father's family have been in the milk business, and so that's how they met.
Right.
And I used to spend lots of summer holidays. We used to go down to Canterbury and stay with my grandmother. And Hewitt's kept a horse till 1960, a horse and tumbrel,
yeah,
because the old boy that worked for him all his life couldn't drive a lorry, and so they kept the horse. But when he retired, because the poor old horse had to go.
Yeah. That's quite traditional, wasn't it? On the farms that happened.
That's
remember
right.
The old
yes,
tractors came
yes,
in?
Yes, yeah.
They couldn't handle the tractors, so they kept the horse.
Some of the old employees were good to their staff. They weren't all wicked.
No.
And my grandfather, my grandmother's husband, he was a coachman before the First World War. And all he knew was horses. Mm-hmm. And in the First World War, he was in the Royal Veterinary Corps, or it was the Army Veterinary Corps to start with, and became the Royal Veterinary Corps. And when he came home, he went to work for his in-laws as a wagoner or a horseman.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent the rest of his working days working for his father-in-law and his brother-in-laws. And
did he have any tales to sort of tell?
Well, unfortunately, I was only seven when he died.
Too young, of course.
But
yeah.
My brother, who's older than me, he was an engineer, and he always loved lorries and things. So we used to go to the yard, and he used to go out in the lorries, and I used to love talking to this old chap with the horse. I used to wait for him to come back, and I used to love talking to him.
He must have witnessed terrible things in the war.
Oh, I see my grandfather and my grandma's eldest brother, Uncle Charles. Who actually gave me some brasses when I was a young lad, only four, and I had them mounted on a martingale, and I still use them today when we do a single turnout.
Lovely, very nice.
It's just sort of tradition, and it's just nice to know. And little would he have realised in 1960, when I was 13, that they would ever go back on a horse.
Exactly,
because he used to say to me, even though I was young, he'd say, "Oh, well, there's no future for the horses now. They're gone."
That's true.
And it's funny how things turned out. And when I got married, I was in the dairy industry in Southend, and Howes Dairies kept horses up to around about 1960, and I'd always been interested in those. Well, then I acquired.
How many horses did they keep? Roughly?
Oh, one time they had. Oh, Howard's there was. Yes, they didn't have so much at Rochford because Wall's had it. Wall and Plough.
Wall and Plough.
That's right.
Wall
yes.
And Plough.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's
But Howard's, they had at Folly Farm, it was known, the depot at Chalkhall. They had a lot of horses there, and their head office was just by the cricketers. In fact, there's a block of flats in there called Howard's Court.
Right.
And I should imagine they had about 40 horses.
Good grief.
They had a lot.
Yes.
I think they had about 12 at head office, and the rest were at Folly. And
they wouldn't all be heavy horses.
No, no, they were all Welsh cocks.
Well, yeah,
Welsh cocks,
cocks.
But
yeah,
I was still fascinated by them.
Yeah,
and so I had this bug to have a horse, and so I acquired a milk van, an old Howard's Dairy's milk van, and Morris Dill rebuilt it for me, and we had I had a Welsh cob. Well, then, as lots of hobbies get to you, comes a bug. I went to an auction, Anne Williams, down in Sussex, who was a very nice aristocratic type lady, had a museum which she sold up, and she had a big fruit farm down there, and she moved down to Devon. And I bought a dray. And it was usable, but it wasn't in very good condition. And I acquired it, and we did it up, and we showed it with a Welsh cob in it. And John Lawless, who was Whitbread's head man, he said to me, "You ought to have a shire in that," he said. And I'd always really had an ambition for a shire. And so I acquired a shire. So at the time we had a Welsh cob and, and a shire. But the heavies really took over.
Yes. Yeah, it got to you, didn't it?
Got to me, yes, yeah. And so the poor old Welsh cob, he went, and we got into the shires.
Right. So you're lucky, really, because you have the land, you have the property to keep shires. How many shires have you got at the moment?
Two.
You've got two shires,
yes,
yeah.
That's enough.
That's enough.
It's a very expensive hobby. Fortunately, my son's well into it.
That's nice.
Now, he's 35. He does all the showing, really, and the driving, and I do all the sort of donkey work at home.
Yes,
I always go to show. I love the shows.
Yeah.
But he does all the driving now, and he's so into it, and it's sort of, it's in our blood, I think.
Good. Very
from
nice.
My mother's side.
Nice.
I think it missed
very
a couple
nice.
Of generations, and then came back out of me. And
very nice.
Tell me
about the shires. How old are they?
Well, one is 8,
yeah.
And the other one's a 4-year-old.
Oh, youngster, yeah.
Yeah, and he's only just been broken. Well, we've broken him. And we had him last year. We showed him hands. And hopefully, we're going to Peterborough in a fortnight's time.
Yes, lovely. Yeah.
This is 2013, by the way.
Yes, yeah.
And,
well done.
And we'll show him in hands. And then we'll just do Joe with the single turnout. And then we're taking the pair to the London Harness Horse Parade, which is held at the South of England Showground nowadays, and because that is a good place to get them out.
Yeah,
he's been to show. The young one, we've had him in hand at shows, and he's been fine. And we've had him at Barleylands, walking around.
Yes,
He's going really nicely now. So we'll have him there. We're not under too much pressure at the London Harness Parade. You just parade round, and provide you get to a standard.
So it's not an official show, it's a
parade.
That
was formed. There was two societies. There was the London Harness, there was the London Cart Horse Parade, which was held, I believe, at Easter, and then at Whitsun, there was the London Van Horse,
yes, going
which
back.
Was the lighter horses
yeah,
from the
yeah.
dairies and the bakers and all the well, the lighter horses. Well, then as the horses decreased, I think in the early 50s, it was amalgamated and come to London Harness Horse Parade.
Right. And that's trade and agricultural, is it?
Yeah, well, you don't get...
It
wasn't really for agriculture. It was really for the London horses,
yeah.
Because when you think there's hundreds of thousands of horses in London at their height, and they weren't all... Sometimes they weren't all that well looked after and kept. And so it was formed to have a standard to work to and for the horses to do.
To encourage good horsemanship.
That's right, yes.
And look after the horses.
That's right.
That's right, yes.
And then... I mean, oh, I'd say some of them weren't looked after too well, but on the other hand, some of them, the horsemen, they really took a pride in their work, and they liked to see the horses turned out, and Express Dairy and United Dairies, they all have very high standards.
Because not every horse was an angel. We tend to look back and think they're all perfectly quiet. You had a shire that was a bit of a handful, didn't you?
Yes, our first shire, he was a lovely horse, but he was... quite a handful. Sherry Clark broke him for us 30 right. years ago.
Right.
But he was a lovely horse, but he did become a handful. Right. And so we he went, and then we've acquired different ones over the years. But
so you sold him on, did he? Where did he go?
So, well, he went to Jim Yates, and we acquired, I did a swap with him, and he ended up in America. Because I saw him right. a year later. I said, oh, what did you do with Monty? I said, did you have him put there? And did he go for meat? He said, no, I sold him to America. So I said, oh, well. They don't worry out there. They've got no. plenty of room. They just let them go, don't they? So
whereabouts in America did he go?
I don't
company?
Know.
Do you know what company?
I know. Then a horse I had recently from Paul Bauer at Tilbury bred him. He was another lovely horse.
You keep saying that.
Yeah. And here there again, he was the nastiest horse I've ever had. Although he was lovely in hand.
Right.
And so I swapped him with Bedford's. Right. Which is a youngster we got now,
yeah.
who's a lovely temperament horse. He's one of the nicest temperaments we've had, I think.
Right.
but this other one, and I heard on the grapevine that they sold him on to America. He's a Budweiser.
To the brewery, Budweiser.
To the brewery, yeah.
Well, they'll sort
although
him,
they say Clydesdales, they look. Yeah. He was very Clydish anyway, but colour-wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently he's there.
So they're not all angels.
But no, far from it. And it is quite difficult putting a pair yeah. together. We had a pair, our last pair came from Newcastle, and they were they were 10 years old when we acquired them, but they were a lovely pair. Mm. And you could go in, and we did the Lord Mayor's show a couple of times.
Oh,
we
have been there, yes.
Yeah, twice we horsed a vehicle up there.
Yes.
And that takes, because the atmosphere at the Lord Mayor's show is incredible. Yeah. I mean, I'd never been to it. But the actual atmosphere when you're in it
must be amazing.
With the pikemen and the bells are ringing.
Yes.
Oh, it makes you proud to be
British. It does.
That's right.
We went last year just as spectators and we saw Hoseley Bay, the Suffolk's of Hoseley Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
But where do you park up and get it?
Oh, it was ever so well organised. We took the lorry in because it's all closed off and we were in Poultry Street or somewhere, and it was
so
really
in a street.
Oh, we were right in the city
to
unload. Oh, yes, but they closed it all off to traffic, and it was really well organised. And I said, Carol was cooking bacon sandwiches, and I said, well, it's not very often you can park in right in the city. cook bacon sandwiches.
I thought you'd be in a green park.
No. It's all in, and it's so well organised, and it all run to clockwork, you know. And it was called out, and we saw the Lord Mayor's coach and the pikemen, originally Whitbreds used to horse it. Well, then when they finished, Young's Brewery started to or horse it for several years.
Right.
And then when they finished, Elspeth Ross now horses it. But putting six together is quite
It's
quite a task.
Yeah, quite. Will you do it this year or again, will you?
It's only if you get invited, if I'm asked to do it. But we haven't had our last pair of horses were brilliant, but these two I think they will be alright, but you do need good.
Yeah. How do you get invited? Is that through the Shire Horse Society or through personal contact?
John Peacock, he does a lot of horses, and I did it once for him, and I did it once for Cyril Knowles, for one of the livery companies. It was both times we did it for a livery company.
Yes, as you say, a fantastic day, isn't
yes,
it?
Yeah.
What about this? Have you ever done that fish race, the Boulogne to Paris fish race?
No, that seems
big. You hear a lot about that, don't you?
There's a lot of the Pershing people.
The Pershing
people
do
that,
because
the Pershings are slightly faster.
Yes.
One thing I ought to mention, with my son, I mean, he's been doing it with me since he was a lad, and he plats up nice and does the tails and does all the platting, because I'm not very good at platting, although I've been doing it for years. Mm. So I'm not very good. And old Jack Juby taught Richard to plat.
Right,
when
did
he was
really?
Yes, because
so
Jack
nice.
Used to come down to Sam Stacey's when we used to do barley lands.
Oh, crikey.
And we all used to stay. Oh, I didn't used to stay, but the boys from Norfolk used to stay at Sam's.
Yeah,
old Jack used to come down, because he was such a lovely old boy character. Mm. And he used to bring his little caravan behind his lorry.
Right.
And he had on the front of his lorry JJ's GG's. He had JJ GG. He was such a character.
We was
lucky to know these people.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
I did teach us
There
was another old...
This is what we were saying. I'm sorry to interrupt. This is what we were saying earlier on. You've taken over that mantle, haven't you? So when the Jubies of this world, the elderly gentleman pass away...
Mm.
Somebody needed to take it on. You've done that, and you're handing it to Richard, your son, aren't you? So
yes, but the only difference is we're only doing it as a hobby and fun and pleasure, whereas they did it for real.
Yes. But let's get this quite clear, you know, you have to realise that if it wasn't for you and people like you, Graham, there'd be history. There wouldn't be a single horse left, would there?
No.
You've got quite a responsibility, you know. Don't ever lighten that. You think it's a hobby. It's not. It's a way of life.
Oh, it is a way of life. I mean, any animal is a commitment. I mean, you can't take the key out and walk away.
It's
a seven-day
absolutely
job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah,
so you
absolutely
do need a lot of commitment to do it. Yeah. And very, I mean, I spend hours in the harness room cleaning the harness for shows, and I sit there some and think, why am I doing all this? But then you get to the show and you see them all out in their fine and glory.
Yes, it makes it all worthwhile.
It makes it all worthwhile, yes.
Yeah. So tell me about how you're keeping up the standards and tradition then with dress, with harness, with the dray. Tell me the work that involves. And for example, how do you dress Richard?
Well,
and the groom?
We dress, it goes back to the old livery days. I mean, in the old days of the coachman, I was saying, like before the First World War, coachmen, the big houses all had their liveries and companies with their horses, they all had their liveries. And so it's the same standard today.
We like
to, each company had their own sort of colours.
Yes.
And
no
so
jeans, no trainers.
Oh, no trainers, no collar and tie,
yes
gaiters, and
yes,
to look smart. Yeah. I mean, when you're out there being judged, the judge should be looking at the whole turnout, how the horses are being driven, and just the standard in general.
Yes.
The whole thing should be immaculate.
Yes, and headwear.
Bowler hats.
Traditional bowler hats. Yeah.
Traditional bowler hats, normally. Agricultural doesn't matter, but you should always have a hat. You should never drive a horse without a hat.
Right.
Agricultural caps.
Cap, of course. Flat cap, yes.
But you can wear bowlers. I mean, in the old days, some of the farm foreman would have worn a bowler hat.
Yeah. Of course, the judges always have a black bowler, don't
black
they?
Black bowler, yes.
And that's tradition as well, isn't it?
Oh, for the judges to wear a bowler, yes.
Why do they always wear a suit? I can't understand.
Well, it's just a general standard to look smart, and to try, well, just to look smart and keep up standards rather than looking slovenly. Because in hand, there has been some criticism lately. In fact, they're actually stating on the entry forms now, some of the in hand people started to get rather slovenly, and now they actually say no jeans and you know, must look smart. The handler should look smart because that all helps make the horse look
of course
smart
it does
as well.
Of
I mean, if the groom's looking scruffy and in jeans, it doesn't help the horse.
No.
And it's his first impressions.
Yes. So. But it's also it's part of keeping a heavy horse, isn't it? The heavy horse is tradition, isn't it? It's in its own right. And you have to be part of it, don't you?
Yes.
And to down dress all the time.
That's right.
But also looking after the dray and the harness. I mean, how do you clean the leather?
Well, the leather's polished. With boot polish.
Ordinary boot polish,
Well, no, we always use Parade, Kiwi Parade, the best quality.
Right, the best one. Okay.
Oh, I used to use a cheaper one, and John Lawless said to me, what do you boot polish use? And I said to him, oh, I don't know, one of the supermarkets unloaded. He said, oh, you've got to use Kiwi Parade.
Right.
And from that day forth, I did, and it does...
It does a job.
Does a job.
Both sides, is it, or just one side?
Oh, no, both sides. I'd actually look underneath as well. Oh, yeah, both sides. And then what I tend to do is, if the weather's bad and it gets really wet, it's got to be washed and muddy. It's got to be washed off when you get home. And it's not just a case of getting ready for the show. When you get home, there's plenty to do.
Yeah.
And we normally put the polish on and then leave it. And then the next show, you take it down and it comes up quite nice.
Right, you brush it up nice.
Brush it up.
Yes, yeah.
And then all the brasses have to be cleaned.
Yeah.
So it's
and the dray itself, is that much maintenance? I mean,
not really. It's not too bad. It is old. The dray is 1895.
Is it really? Yes.
The undercarriage.
So
it's
sprung. All trades.
Oh yes,
sprung.
Trades sprung. And I mean, really, we call them drays, but a dray was a flat bedded vehicle, or sometimes known as a lorry or lorry. And anything with size is technically a van. So although they're all sided vehicles now, and we call them drays, so they really should be known as a van.
Yes, yeah. It's a bit of a modern word, isn't it? It's a trouble with van, isn't it? You tend to think of it being modern, don't you?
Yes.
As a dray, you think of it as
being old.
I understand.
Yeah.
So much maintenance we've got. I mean, do you polish the paintwork?
Oh, yes, we polish the paintwork.
And the lettering, is that lettering gold paint?
It's gold leaf.
It's gold leaf.
Sign writing, double shaded, which I do like.
Yes. Is that much maintenance, gold leaf?
No maintenance at all. In fact, when you think the old shop fronts, It was gold leaf sign writing. Gold's never going to wear, does it? It never fades. And then that's they used true. To put plate glass over the top. Right. And so just wipe the glass over and the signs would have last for...
I see, yes.
Literally ever. But it's one of those things that's sort of gone away.
Yeah.
Died. Another
probably cost,
art.
Isn't it?
Well, it is cost. But cost it's not good. Too bad. You tend to think all gold leaf is ever so expensive, but it's not too bad. And of course, it's now vinyls. Most of the writing. I mean, you know, I don't like to see it, but some of the drays, you go up to it, or it looks nice in the distance, when you go up to it, and they're vinyl stuck on. And
would
to
that
me,
be down
marked
by the judge, do you know that sort of thing?
I don't think it is, but it may be by some of the old traditional judges, but lots of the younger judges coming through that have never actually done turnout, they don't sort of realise, as long as it looks nice.
Yes, yeah.
And most of the points the judging go towards the horse,
of course,
or the cleanliness. I mean, you'll see the judge should look at he looks in the back of the dryer, look underneath it to make sure it's spotlessly clean.
Yeah. So the judge really is the man, isn't he, or the woman?
Oh, yes,
to be honest with you, it's
yeah.
not democratic. You don't need. Do you get a bit of paper telling you what you failed on, or what
no?
The
he doesn't.
Are,
which
will
be
verbal?
Quite. They normally very often verbally come round and say why you are where you are.
Oh, good.
Which
right.
does help. But
And the horse itself, I mean, preparation, well, you're getting ready now for your highlight of the year, aren't you? Your Shire Horse Show in Peterborough. One of the highlights, an international show.
Well,
how are you going to groom the
horse?
Well,
they're washed out with hot water. We always use shampoo, which I buy at the wholesale hairdressing place.
Yeah, good for you.
Because it works out so much cheaper.
And a lot of shampoo for
they do, yes, yeah. Well, you don't want to put too much on because you do need to get it all out. And when you're rinsing them off. And the feathers, we tend to use more because our feathers are normally fairly dirty. We tend to put washing up liquid to get the mud out.
Yes, yes.
But we find that's too coarse. There's too much salt in that. In the washing up liquid.
Is there
so,
really?
Yeah, there's a lot of salt in washing up liquid.
Isn't
so
it, yeah.
We tend to not use it on their coats.
Right.
And then they're all rinsed out, and then we use wood flour on them to
on the feathers yes,
to fluff them all up and dry them out, and then we do that again on the just before we're showing, and fluff them all up, brush them out, and they all look nice and
lovely.
Fluffy, because
the feathers are part
one
of the
disadvantages of the Shires, whereas with the Percheron and the Suffolk, you don't have that problem.
But on a show day, there's nothing like a shire with lovely feathers, is there? Be honest, especially when they're trotting.
Well, I mean, I like heavy horses, but the shire to me, well, it is because it's pretty, I suppose.
Yeah,
it's,
yes, they are.
Whereas
that's the word, yeah.
Suffolk was a working
animal. A working animal, of course.
Well, shires are working animals, but the shire does
stand out. How often do you have them shot, Graham?
About every 8 weeks, depending on how much work you're doing.
Do you really?
Yeah. If they're doing road work, but if they're not doing any, sometimes I have them taken off if we don't do too much in the winter. But normally about every 8 weeks, but it does depend on how much road work you're
doing. Yes, of course. Yeah. So do you, apart from show days, do you exercise the horses?
Oh, yes.
Tarmac, do you?
Oh, yes, we take them round the boats.
Right,
yes.
So they have to be shod for that, obviously.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
Spoil their feet.
Yes.
Because we've never been in the farming side of horses, and really you can't mix the two. I was advised that years ago because when you're showing agricultural, you must be at the walk. It's never breaking to a trot, they must be walking all the time.
Yeah.
But with the trade, they like to see them
trotting
round, and of course they do look more impressive to the eye. It's very difficult. Lots of people come into it and they start with agriculture and they like to aspire to trade because it's very, very rare occasion will an agricultural vehicle beat a trade.
Oh, I've never known that in the short time.
No, never known it. And the reason, which is wrong really, because some of the agricultural turnouts look
very nice. Yeah.
Very nice. But when they're at the walk all the time, they can't show themselves off to the best.
It concerns me that the agricultural turnout is getting smaller at the big shows. And the trade seems to be holding its own, getting bigger, isn't
Well,
it,
I
really?
Say,
is that because
people
of the spectacle
seem
of it?
To aspire to trade that start with agricultural, but the Suffolk Show, you get a nice probably get quite a lot of agricultural there.
Yes.
Being home in the Suffolk anyway.
Yeah. So you take the heavies, the shires, on the road, just for maybe what, once, two or three times a month?
Well, as much as we can, which is working, and you know, still I can't get them out on my own.
No.
And especially now, I'm getting older, my arms are not... I can't put collar on a horse now. So, I mean, last week we had them out four times, this week we'll only have them out once. So,
it's as much as that, yeah.
Oh, yes, we try to get them out at least once a week, really, should be better than more than that.
Yeah. So what vehicle do you take out?
Oh, we've got a chariot type vehicle, we call it. It's a four wheel pneumatic tyre just with a seat on it.
That's better, isn't it?
Pole, or we can put shelves on it.
Yeah, it's okay. A bit softer for you.
Yes, right. We've got a big old transit seat across it.
Yes, that's okay.
Tap on, and I've got a nice big sign across the back, caution.
Yeah,
horse drawn in yellow and black and red.
Good.
So
this is when you take horse on the road now, is there some level of qualification you need?
Yes. Well, no. There's not one you need.
How does that work?
Well, you can do these MVQs, horsemanship, and it's up to now. It hasn't become law.
Right. But so it's voluntary so far.
It's voluntary so far. Which we've never taken, I think we're reasonably competent.
Yes, I'm sure you are. I'm sure, yes.
But
yes, yeah.
If it comes to it, and I was talking to a chap the other day, I mean, you've even got to have tickets now for moving the horses on lorry.
Of course.
Transport.
Yes.
But it's okay still. Yeah, it's okay if you're only doing it for your own pleasure, but no doubt these things will come round and it'll
creep up. They will, yes.
And really and truly, you take a horse out on the road without any... Anybody can take a horse and vehicle out on the road, and it can be really dangerous.
Especially
in this day and age, because you'll find some drivers are very considerate. Sometimes they slow down too much. You think, oh, for goodness sake, come past. And yet others, they treat you as though you're not there.
Yes, I know.
It does vary a lot.
Do they understand your signage, your road signage? I mean,
tell me where to write. That's right. We do it.
We try your best.
We always. Hopefully, we drive correctly.
Yeah, and I'm sure you always have a whip in your right hand. Exactly. So you carry the whip in the right hand.
It's pretty obvious, really. If you've got the whip, if you're turning right and you've got the whip stuck out in the middle of the road.
Yeah. I mean, to an 18-year-old young girl.
Well, that's right. What's he doing? But okay. What can you do? You know.
Yes. So experience, isn't it? Yes.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. How do you see the future, for heavies? We're in a recession, aren't we?
That's right.
How do you see the future?
The trade, because it is expensive, and now lots of the breweries, there are brewers, Thwaites and Wabworths, and that still continue, but there's not so many breweries now, and so really it becomes. To people, private people like myself, doing it, and of course, more and more are they're putting on ridden classes now.
Yes, unusual, isn't it?
It doesn't look quite right, is it? No, I'm a traditionalist, but if it's the only way it's going to keep the breed going, because people just can't afford to do. I mean, turnout is a completely different ball game to in hand. There's just people say to me, "Sometimes, I mean, we didn't used to show in hand too much because." I like to go to the show and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be racing around all day long, chasing around. But we have started doing in hand a bit now because, we had the youngster, we couldn't show him in harness anyway. But people say to me, oh, why don't you come here? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And quite honestly, we don't want to be out every week because it's so much work. And
I think
people have done it, they don't quite understand how much work is involved.
I understand.
If you take a horse in hand, all right, you wash the horse, you clean the bridle, and I know in hand people that don't even bother to clean the bridles before they take them in, which to me. And we don't, I mean, we probably do about 12, 15 events a year, but I just don't want to be out every weekend because
I enjoy it.
And Richard's got a young family and his wife's not too happy if he's out too much.
Yes, of course.
And I just don't want to do it every weekend, and I think that's probably why we're still doing it.
Yes.
If you start doing it every weekend, it becomes a
chore,
and it doesn't become a pleasure anymore. Yeah. So it'd be nice to do perhaps a few more shows, but
I don't think you realise, that you're the last bastion, aren't you? The heavy horse, to be honest with you. You've got to realise this. I can't understand the future, you see, because the cost is so high.
Mm.
The qualifications, the experience you need are so much.
Mm.
You have to be really dedicated. And I'll be honest with you, I've never known any heavy horse actually earn its keep, even now in forestry or whatever.
That's right.
They say they do, but very rarely does that happen.
Well, that's why.
But I mean, again, I'm asking you again, how do you see the future, generally speaking, for the heavy horse generally? I mean, will it decline or...
There still seems to be plenty about, and because they export a lot to America, because it's still very popular in America, heavy horses.
Right.
And there's a Shire Horse Society in Italy and Germany, and the Germans like them. There's quite a lot in Germany.
Of course so they do, yeah.
It will continue, but slightly different, I think. There won't be quite so much tradition to it as these young and the older people do. I mean, I was fortunate to know all the old people that did it for real, as I always say. I mean, there's another... an old boy that worked for Cottis's ploughman, old Harold. He was called Spot, his nickname, Spot Hyam. And I remember he used to come down here and be ploughing out the back with the tractors. But he was an old horseman. And he said, after the war, he said, I went to Lord Peter, is it, at Ingatestone Hall?
Petra.
And he said, I went to see him for the job. And he said, could you have been a head horseman at a farm? I'll take you on as a tractor driver. Because he said, if people that ploughed with horses knew what they were doing.
Yes, yeah.
And he said, I think it's only because I've been the horseman I've got the job. And we knew him, and he used to come to shows with us. I mean, he's been dead a good few years now. But we was fortunate to know these type of people. And because they used to show at ploughing matches. And the horsemen, if they want the prize money, they were allowed to keep. Well, back in...
Yes.
In the 1930s, perhaps he was earning £2 a week. The prize money could be as much as that. Mm. And so, if they was working for a governor, the governors allowed them to keep their prize money.
So they had their pride.
I really
would like to see this future, how we can map it out. You know, because the one thing you've already hit on is you've got to keep tradition up. But have you really got to keep tradition up?
Let's be honest, if you
get next year at your Shire Horse Show, you see a turnout, and the guy's got jeans on and a pole neck pullover, you know.
Well, if the judge knows what he's doing, he'll stand at the bottom.
And a beanie hat, you know.
That's right.
But the rest of the horse and the dray is perfect. Do you understand?
That's right.
Where do we draw the line? It's a pity if we do let it go.
Well, I think people realise if you get into it, you aspire to...
Got to do it right.
It's got to do it right. Yeah, I mean, we've always studied the professionals, as it were, the Whitbreds people and the Iron Coop and the Trumans and... We always aspired to what they were doing.
Yes,
and even if we couldn't beat them, which we didn't ever expect to, really, when you think they were professional, full-time, it wouldn't really be right if amateurs and people doing it as a hobby beat them. But all I'd like to think, if we can go out there and look as good as them, and the horse goes well and no mishaps... Mm-hmm.
You've had a good day.
You've had a good day, that's right. You know, sometimes you get disappointed when you don't do too well. But John Peacock said to me one day, I was saying that to him one day, I said, it'd be nice to be further that line. He said, yes, but he said, there's a lot of people out there who'd be like to do what you're doing.
Yes,
be where you are.
Absolutely,
and I thought, that's very true.
That's a nice thing. Let's call it a day then, Graham. Thank you very much for your time. I'll turn the recorder off and...